Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Life throws challenges at every man, but standing firm in faith during trials and temptations requires courage and discipline and trust in God. Whether it's struggles at work or temptations in personal life, or even if it's moments of doubt, faith provides the foundation to remain steadfast. So how can men navigate these storms without losing sight of God's purpose? We're trying to get through to Pastor Murapa to guide us through this conversation. We're talking about standing firm in faith during trials. And that's one of the challenges of the Christian walk, right? Regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, it's not always easy to stand firm. It's one thing to believe in God on the day that you're baptized. It's one thing to believe in God in the good times when he's showering you with blessings. But what about when things get difficult? What about when your faith is challenged? What about when you've told people that God is going to do it and then he doesn't? So many different ways that our faith is challenged, right? And so how exactly do we go about holding on to what we believe in, holding on to what we know? I believe our pastor is on the line now. Good morning, my pastor. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning. How are you?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing this beautiful Monday morning?
I'm doing so well. We thank the Lord.
Amen.
For the gift of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us once again, Pastor. It's a blessing to be speaking with you about this subject that I think a lot of people will be able to identify with. What are some of the biggest temptations that men are facing today? And how would you say faith could help overcome those temptations?
Okay. I think the world today is is gripped by a lot of temptations. Some of the major temptations, it might be difficult to single out which are the greatest temptations, but I'll just refer to the ones that are most common as the greatest the society is facing today. These temptations, I think our society has often emphasized material possessions and achieving high status as a marker of success. So a lot of people are gripped by the pursuit to accumulate wealth, and some of them end up indulging in some criminal activities and some means which are not biblically approved. I think that's one there. Then we also have the sexual temptations. This can also include pornography, infidelity, and other forms of sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is seen as occurring in the society, especially in the young people of today. These are the most common. You know, everyone has access to the internet, and the media is also portraying a lot of sexual content and inappropriate stuffs. So even the kids now are not even safe when we look at these things. So the society, is really in a big problem.
For sure. I was reading somewhere that even on some kids' games in the gaming world, there's so many subtle things that come into the game. You think that you've put up some good boundaries for your kids and you've set up safety features, but first of all, they're so easy to disable, and also the predators out there have found a way. They find ways to, you know, to circumvent all those measures that you might have put in place to still get access to children and to start sharing sexually explicit content and things like that to young people. So it's almost like there's nowhere to hide. You just have to sit in your house, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, don't listen to anything, don't watch anything, don't go to school, don't do any, because everywhere you turn, some kind of suggestion into, if it's not sexual immorality, like you're saying, it's some kind of suggestion that you must have money or you must have this, you must have that, otherwise you're not a man. And so I can imagine the pressure that comes with all of that. So how can men build a strong spiritual foundation that can help them to stand firm in the trials that come about because of that?
Okay. I think first of all, men can needs to understand. So they need to identify that that the Bible and the Bible alone should be the standard
Amen.
For whatever they're doing. This can help them to withstand the pressures from the life. You know, our God doesn't change. He says, I am today, tomorrow, and forever.
Mm.
So we need to understand, we need to be more conservative than reactionary to what this world is offering. And if we do that, I think we can be able to challenge the temptations that are facing the society today.
Amen. Beautiful.
Yes.
And then what about accountability? I know this is a big deal for all of us, really, but especially when we're talking about men, why is accountability so important, especially for resisting temptation? And how can men find trustworthy support systems to be accountable to?
Okay, accountability, I think it plays a crucial role in resisting temptations because it introduces an of support and scrutinizes that can strengthen an individual and help him resolve. I'll just try to break down how accountability can assist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe just knowing that there's someone that someone else is aware of your personal struggles and
yes.
goals makes one conscious of his actions.
Yes.
And this can help one avoid temptation triggers.
Okay.
So we can see accountability provides a safety net when faced with temptations. Having someone to talk to can offer encouragement, perspective, and a practical advice as well.
For sure. And then what role would prayer play in strengthening a man's faith during those difficult times?
I come again. My line is poor.
Oh, all right. I was saying, what role does prayer play in strengthening a man's faith during difficult and challenging times?
Okay. Prayer established a direct line of communication with the higher power, that is God.
Mm.
This reminds the individual that they are not alone in their struggles. You know, there are certain times when we feel we are isolated in our struggles, but prayer helps us understand that we are never alone.
Mm.
There is a higher power involved, trying to assist us overcome whatever challenges we are facing.
Yeah.
So I think prayer gives us confidence that and prayer also is consistent to faith.
Yeah.
So that gives us an assurance that even though we are in the midst of the challenges, but we will be confident that it's a phase that passes because we start to claim God's promises in the Bible. If you do this, I will do this for you. And that gives us an assurance. Even if we are in deep mess, we can sleep because we know our God is too powerful to contain the situation.
Powerful. And then when we talk about past failures, because we're all human, and I'm sure there's not a man standing who has not made a mistake in the past. So how can those past failures be used as a lesson rather than as a source of guilt in a man's spiritual journey? What lessons can be gleaned from the past mistakes? And how do we stay away from feeling guilty and being overladen with feelings of shame?
You know, sometimes when you track your past, you may sometimes the first thing that happens is we might fail to forgive ourselves for what we have done in the past. I will quote this guy. There was a quotation I read some time ago, and it reads like this: Don't let your past affect you, but let focus on the what? On the future.
Right.
And we all have the past, and don't let it be your burden. Though it makes who we are, but it does not define what we will become. So I think we need to first forgive ourselves of whatever that has happened to in the past. You know, the society can forgive you at times, but you might fail to forgive yourselves.
Very true.
Maybe that's why certain people don't even come to Christ. They say, hey, I've sunk so deep in the mud of sin. What will the society say? Yet the society will be saying, no, they come to Christ. We didn't die for anyone, but Christ did. So we need to forgive ourselves. And if we forgive ourselves, then the rest will happen naturally. Then we also need to seek for forgiveness from if there are any people we can take and find that we have wronged. We need also to seek for forgiveness. We also need to analyze and examine what went wrong, what were the contributing factors that led to us to behave in that way, and to make such kind of choices that we make, which resulted, which were not healthy. And if we do that, we also need to identify the patterns. What are the reoccurring themes in our life that can draw us back and stop us from progressing? And if we do that, I think we can be assured that we won't be a prisoner of the past.
Beautiful. What you're saying reminds me of this quote that's normally attributed to Aristotle that says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit," or something like that. So it's about what you repeatedly do, what you have been doing, the mistakes that you've made in the past. You can change that by doing things differently, which sounds easier said than done, because many people have tried and failed so many times. But I guess that's where the faith factor comes in, because once you start relying on God to help you to create new habits, then you're no longer relying on yourself. You have let yourself down so many times. So why would you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result? Why don't you try now to rely on God to help you create new habits so that you can become a new person and not be stuck in the prison of the things that you've done in the past? But going back to what you had said earlier, some of the pressures that young men are facing, how should they face those pressures with faith? How does faith help you face the pressure of, you know, society saying I need to make more money? Society is telling me that I need to, conquer as many women as I can. Society is telling me that I need to be this and that. How does a young man face those pressures? Because society is not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. How does a young man face those pressures with faith rather than in his own strength? How does that work in a practical sense?
Yeah, in a practical sense, I think we need to have our norms and to be rooted in the Bible.
Yeah.
If our norms and values are rooted in the Bible, we will understand that the Bible's definition for success, the Bible's definition for what a successful person is different from the popular what the world, the popular logic is trying to portray into today's life. So what I just believe is we need to redefine success as Christians. Redefine the means of success.
Yeah.
And if we do that, I think we won't have a problem.
I love it.
We need not to allow society to define for us success, what a true man is, what a real woman is.
Mm.
But we need, because that already the Bible is what has stated.
Mm. Mm.
So we need rather, I think much of the challenges we are facing today just as a result of men's attempt to drift away from the foundational teachings of the Bible.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I love that. I think I really appreciate the idea that instead of looking to, for example, social media or just media in general or society to tell us what a man is, why not just let the Bible be your standard? Let the Bible, and like I was saying to the listeners earlier, we have to decide as Christians, do we believe the Bible or do we not? We have to pick a side. We have to decide, are we going to believe what the Bible says about what a man is? Or are we going to decide that, no, you know what? I'm actually going to follow what society says, which unfortunately changes every 10 minutes. So you'll never reach the standard because as soon as you attain one thing, there's another thing that is now the new standard, and you will never be satisfied trying to satisfy the world.
And the world is not static, exactly.
Yes.
And they say they are values, and sometimes they remove them and put others. But
now,
the Bible has remained the same for years.
For sure, for sure.
We'll
never meet, no one can ever meet the worldly standards. It won't happen.
Yeah, so we need to tell the world that the Bible is still relevant.
Amen. Amen. I love that.
And it's always in fashion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. A few weeks ago, Pastor Papu preached at my church, and the title of his sermon was what did he say? Something about making the gospel fashionable again or something like that. And I thought that was very interesting because, yeah, for sure, when we look at the world tells us, everything that is valuable has been turned on its head, and it's actually, the world will tell you it's not valuable, especially when you're looking at a man, to be compassionate, to be empathetic, to be kind, you know, to be humble, to be meek, to be like Jesus in the worldly standards is seen as weakness. Like, why would you be kind? Why would you be empathetic and compassionate? That's a weakness.
That's a weakness. A man doesn't behave like that. Mm. That's what the world tells us.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, it paints men already in a terrible light because it makes men look like some kind of wild animals that everyone needs to fear. Everyone must be afraid of men. And then when that happens, when women start talking about how dangerous men are and, oh, you need to watch out for men and fear men, then it creates this whole, it becomes this ugly cycle because women now are combative against the men because you guys are so mean and cruel and unfeeling, and then women start trying to match that same energy. It just turns into this big ugly world with a lot of unfeeling, angry, unloving and unlovable people, which is unfortunate. So definitely, I think my main takeaway from what you've said is to let the Bible define the standards for us rather than society.
Exactly. Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful. How would you conclude this conversation, my pastor?
Yeah. To conclude this conversation, maybe I can say we need not to be drawn too much by the pressures of the world.
Sure.
Because the world right now is giving us a lot of pressure. We need, the focus have been diverted. Now people are thinking, like, even people don't have time for sharing the word of God. They are either gripped by their business, pursuit for wealth. Yet the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
So I think we need to indulge ourselves in things that will be of profit. I like the quotation of Ellen White when she says, we shall realize that this world is just but an atom as compared to the things in glory.
Amen.
So we just need to understand that whatever we are doing, if it's not an investment to what to the world in to come, then it says nothing for us.
For sure.
So we need to understand that. Once we understand that, I think as the society, as the church, we can have a clear perspective of what God expects from us.
Absolutely.
Even if the world offers a certain things and what will be conservative to our standards.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I think that's what I mean in conclusion.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. I think that the points have been heard loud and clear, and really appreciate your time this morning. God bless you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.